Our scripture reading today was taken from the lectionary, and because it's a dialogue sermon, I read it before. There is a calendar that our church goes by, and it has all the lectionary readings on it for every Sunday. And at the bottom of this Sunday, the title was Breaking Chains, if that helps anybody when I read it again. Now, on one day, as we were going to the place of prayer, we met a slave girl who had a spirit of divination and brought her owners a great deal of money by fortune-telling. While she followed Paul and us, she would cry out, "These men are slaves of the Most High God, who proclaim to you a way of salvation." She kept doing this for many days, but Paul, very much annoyed, turned and said to the spirit, "I order you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And it came out that very hour. But when her owners saw that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the authorities. When they had brought them before the magistrates, they said, "These men are disturbing our city. They are Jews and are advocating customs that are not lawful for us as Romans to adopt or observe." The crowd joined in attacking them, and the magistrates had them stripped of their clothing and ordered them to be beaten with rods. After they had been given them a severe flogging, they threw them into prison and ordered the jailer to keep them securely. Following these instructions, he put them in the innermost cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was an earthquake so violent that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were unfastened. When the jailer woke up and saw the prison doors wide open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, since he supposed that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted in a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." The jailer called for lights, and rushing in, he fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them outside and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they answered, "Believe on the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved and your household." They spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And at the same hour of the night, he took them and washed their wounds. Then he and his entire family were baptized without delay. He brought them up into the house and set food before them. And he and his entire household rejoiced that he had become a believer in God. So ends our reading. Anyone have any thoughts? I see kind of smiles and... I know smiles are good. Is this working?
Yeah.
I'll just start by saying I'm don't really have much thought about all of that. It's a lot to assimilate, but I did pick up quite a few acts of kindness and love. And I think as long as you do that, you are taken care of. And I know I have a book about the Dalai Lama, and he said, he was asked, what is the greatest thing that mankind can do? And he said, acts of kindness, be kind. So.
Anyone else?
Just a quick thought is that in some of these instances you hear it was either an earthquake or something on a great magnitude that made someone realize and they come to the, they all of a sudden they get enlightenment. They want Jesus, they want God. It's funny, the same thing happens when, say if something medically happens to you, a heart, brain tumor or something like that, is suddenly you're faced with the possibilities of the end. All of a sudden, it takes something like that to make someone to believe. Why do we wait so long? Why do we wait so long? We shouldn't.
I think that what you're saying, Tony, is correct. It always takes a thunder to have someone react. And I don't know, okay? Basically, I don't know. What I'm trying to get to is this week there was Don Montfort. He's my landlord. And his son was hanging around, and we got talking about the Romans and the Italians. Now, Italians at the time of the Romans were not counted; they were actually pushed around, and they were ostracized. So, if you're not a Roman, then you have no status, you have nothing. And so since the Italians were having a hard time with the Romans, imagine what the Jews, the Israelis, were going through. To be called not a Roman citizen at that time was horrible. But I'm trying to collect my thoughts, and my mind is going blank. You have this slave girl that is telling truth. These men are servants of the Most High God. You can't get better than that, in my opinion. So I don't understand why it would have annoyed Paul. And then there is maybe just to say that that changes, in other words, moving away from someone that is able to say truths, to predict future, to assist people in their in themselves, okay? It's difficult for me. That is one way of throwing that out, and we find ourselves as Christians, and we are lost and are at the mercy of someone to tell us that we are not good and we will always in the fear of hell. That is when you have people that have decided you are not following the direction that is so-called lawful, and you get beat up, put in jail, and you're to sit there and die. It's not right. So it is a way of having thunder and lightning and earthquakes to wake people up and say, what is going on is not the correct way. And I know what I'm saying is bits and pieces of my thoughts. I read this a little farther, and it says the jailer and the officials found that Paul and Silas were Roman citizens, so they needed to cover it up. And they allowed them to leave and go along their way. It's, for me, okay, all of that is the signs of the times. And how to change that sounds a little bit about what we're living now. what is ready to change and what is ready to go backwards.
I saw your hand up before.
It sounds so simple after that. But when you talked about chains, I was thinking of addictions, and I don't mean the popular addictions. I mean, it can be, well, making assumptions and then finding out your assumptions are wrong and stuff like that. And you need to break those chains. You cause yourself anxiety when you make assumptions, and then you worry about it, and then you find out it's not anything anyway. That's my simple thought.
Thank you, Perry. Anybody else? I'll be to you in a minute.
Well, I just sort of paraphrasing here. We have some people who do something good, and then they get punished, and then they get punished some more, and then when it's found out that they're not guilty, the person who's driving all the punishment has difficulty facing up to the responsibility of freeing these people. And Paul takes a stand and says, they want to let us go, then he can come and get me out of here, get us out of here. I think it's a model for behavior every day of the week. It's knowing that you acted in good faith, knowing that you've been wrongly accused or punished or for some reason shunned, and then speaking out and identifying your feelings and what you feel is the right thing to do. And I think it's a call for us as individuals to model that behavior and to further it, to expand upon it and grow our society, grow our, not our personal image so much, but our general quality of life and citizenry.
Thank you.
I was thinking of the old saying, when there is war, there are no atheists in the foxhole. You know, it is a form of awakening. It's a force awakening. Sometimes it sticks, sometimes it doesn't. So I think I have to work on it. But I do think we have to be forced at times in order to see the light.
This was the first time I've ever tried this, but I've been through some rough patches, but the most important thing to me is finding Bethlehem. And God had a lot to do with that. So that's all I've got.
I was just thinking about some things I heard recently that were called to mind hearing this, the Romans saying that they were disturbing the society around them and then they had to be in prison. There was just a report on the radio this morning looking back on Tiananmen Square, and the Chinese are saying, well, we had to do what we did because it was a disturbance. They were disturbing our culture. And we don't have to go very far to see what happens when somebody comes into our midst and they do things we're not familiar with and they have customs different than our own, and to see how they're treated, see churches and mosques attacked. This is right here, right now. We're doing it. We're having it done to us. We're doing it to others. When do we learn? I don't know. I don't know when we learn, but we're doing it.
Jane, I agree with everything that you just said, and I think for me, one of the first things that stood out in that scripture is that the being of a prisoner, that we all have the ability and all have at some point in our life been a prisoner in our own mind and our own heart. And that's not only happening with us individually, but it's happening globally. So that's what spoke to me.
Anyone else?
I don't know, a lot of thoughts go through my mind on this. And one of the biggest ones to me was the power of prayer. And I know, speaking for myself, that I've been talking to God since I was a little guy. And he doesn't always answer all your prayers, but he'll pick out the certain ones that, and he does answer. I know that for a fact. And you can see this in this saying that was brought, you know, they were unjustly convicted, and God knew that. And he brought the power of the earthquake, and the chains came free, and they walked away. And the people saw that. And to me, the power of prayer is everything. Just talk to God once in a while, and you'll see.
Anyone else? When I was getting ready for today, a couple of the things that struck me the most were the chains. How God will break the chains that hold us down. That we need to believe, we need to pray, we need to have compassion for others, because just as God will break our chains, there are times when we can break someone else's with a smile, a kind look. I see this girl probably twice a month in Waterbury, and she's from Central America, and I'm not used to the culture. I'm not used to... And the first time I met her, about 6 months ago, she said, "Hi, Mama." And I'm like, "You don't know me." And I just, you know, hello, and didn't say anything, but it took me aback. And every time she sees me, it's, "Hi, Mama." And I started to realize that in her culture, that is a blessing. So when I saw her on Friday, when she said, "Hi, Mama," I said, "Hi, daughter." And the grin on her face lit the world like somebody finally got it. And that was so simple. We need to be aware of our chains, but also that we can help others break theirs. As a closing thought, I was going through my father's Bible, and I found this reading that he had put in Genesis, and I read the pages around it, and it didn't really make sense as to why it was there, other than I think he left it there for me to find for today. And it was written by Nelson Mandela. Our deepest fear is that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful. Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? You are a child of God. Your plain small does not serve the world. There is nothing enlightening about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. You are born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. It is not just in some of us. It is in everyone. And as we let our light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our fear, our presence automatically liberates others. Just an idea for today.